booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, and for the last time in 2 weeks, you will hear me alongside the lovely, talented, Gracie Award-winning Juliet Huddy. Hello, Juliet.
Hello. That is so secondary to the big news of the day. If you're just tuning in and you were not listening to The Other Side of Midnight, a.k.a. Awesome, O-S-O-M, Frank Morano, would you like to do the honors?
Well, I did announce last hour that my wife, Rachel, and I are expecting a baby in December.
Woo! So happy you, for Deb. You. Deb's congratulations. Well. We're going to be talking about that all day long, I assure
thank you.
Thank you.
Very apropos that we were to announce this the Thursday before Father's Day.
Well,
right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's so fantastic. And also when the day that I'm going to be leaving for 2 weeks. I had to be here for this.
Well,
had to be here for this.
I appreciate your well wishes a great deal, along with a lot of the listeners that have been privately congratulating me.
That's
so
wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, you are loved, Frank. You are definitely loved, and Rachel is wonderful. She's not only beautiful, but she's a very brilliant girl. I was talking to my mom about her yesterday, and I was saying I did spill the beans to my mom, but it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's very discreet.
By the way, Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid will be in with sports at 15 and 45. Also, Frank and your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. I'm going to be talking about great news for unvaccinated Americans who want to travel to places like Germany and France and Sweden and other European hotspots. There has been some new movement on that from the Europeans, and I'll tell you what it is coming up.
All right. Well, quite a bit of news happening. We're also going to have traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan. But a lot of folks focusing on the U.S.-Russia summit that President Biden had with Russian President Vladimir Putin. They say they want to build a better relationship, and the two leaders held their first summit yesterday in Switzerland. They didn't resolve any disagreements, but they say the meeting demonstrated progress. In a joint statement, they both agreed in reducing the risk of armed conflicts and the threat of nuclear war. They also reaffirmed that a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought.
Well, and speaking of, this summit began much like the U.S.-Russia relationship itself. And by the way, great interview with Vladimir Posner. He's a really interesting guy, and
he
I
is.
Like his take on a lot of things. I really do. But anyway, the summit began kind of like our relationship with the Russians. Chaotic. U.S. journalists say they were manhandled by Russian security and their Russian counterparts, the actual Russian press that was there within the pool. World journos outside the villa posted pictures on social media documenting the melee. Quite a contradiction to the elegant 18th century villa at which the conference was being held.
Very interesting. I appreciate you mentioning my discussion with Vladimir Posner.
People didn't
get a chance to hear that. He's a very interesting guy in that he has American citizens. Citizenship, Russian citizenship, and French citizenship.
Oh, wow.
Born in France, raised in the United States, and then moved to Russia as a child. And he's had experience working in all those three countries. So if you want to hear that, you can go to WABCradio.com or just search Frank Morano or The Other Side of Midnight, wherever you get your podcast. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Best interviewer in the business.
I'm not quite so sure about that, but I will tell you, the best traffic person in the business, with apologies to Debbie Duhaime, is the one and only Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello there, Joe. Good morning.
And good morning, Frank. Good morning, everybody. And we're off to a good start, really, to tell you the truth. Not anything terrible. And Debbie Duhaime is a joy and love, by the way.
Amen. She's a very close friend, but her traffic reports are not as accurate as yours.
Oh, okay. Well, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, you know, she's a good person. All right. Other than that, she's good. We're good. Everything seems to be moving along pretty well. No major problems coming in from the island. Same thing. Hudson River crossings, all of those moving very, very well this morning without really any kind of an issue, which is generally around. We're good. Alternate side of the street parking rules in effect today. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. So, wow, what a day we had yesterday. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it did get a little bit warm when you're sitting in the sun, but hey, who's complaining about that? From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today it's going to be another stunner, pretty much picture perfect and a duplicate of yesterday. We'll reach a high in the city of 79 degrees, very light winds, 34% humidity, which means we are going to have it's just going to be picture perfect. That's really low. And I'm really happy about that. Friday, I won't be here, but you guys probably will. 84 degrees. It's going to be beautiful again. We'll have some clouds as well as sunshine, but still, it's always nice when the sun is beating down to have a little bit of cloud cover here and there. On Saturday, we're looking at 86 degrees, partly to mostly cloudy. We're going to have a chance of slight showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. And Sunday, looking really good. Mostly sunny skies, warming up definitely. 86 degrees, and the humidity starting to inch up a bit. We'll look at about 55% humidity, so it's going to start to feel a little bit moister. I love that word. 61 right now in New York City, Frank.
People in Texas will soon be allowed to carry guns without a permit. Governor Greg Abbott will hold a bill signing ceremony today. It begins September 1st for those age 21 and older. They won't need a license of training. The bill will also erase records of those who were previously convicted of unlawfully carrying a gun in public. Supporters say this helps more Texans protect themselves, but critics are worried it'll lead to more violence.
Well, hundreds of concerned and angry locals here in New York City turned out for a meeting about what's happening at Washington Square Park down there in the Village. I would imagine most of these people live around this Washington Square Park, which has really, it's a beautiful green area. It has been sort of an iconic place for locals and even tourists, you know, to kind of hang out. But it really has turned into essentially ground zero for partiers and thieves and druggies and perverts and other generally creepy dudes and dudettes. Last weekend saw two stabbings, and neighbors of this Tony area showed up at a church to talk about this, and they say they've had it.
People urinating and defecating on our stoop. Our children have witnessed all sorts of things, from lewd acts to nudity to drugs.
You know, I got to say, police have promised to address the concerns. Okay, this has been going on now for a long time. Again, I'm sorry to editorialize. What is there to address? You know, Frank, close the park. Close it for a couple weeks. These people will go someplace else. Then when you open it up, have a strong police presence and take no BS, you know, start arresting people, throw them in jail. Oh, wait, I forgot. They get released in 2 seconds. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think you put your finger on a big part of the problem. A convicted killer in South Carolina is getting more time to live. He was scheduled to die tomorrow, but the state halted all executions. The Supreme Court says policies need to be finalized on how to carry out executions by firing squad. A new law lets death row inmates choose to go out that way or by electrocution, since there are not enough drugs for lethal injections. But for now, only the electric chair is available.
There are not enough drugs for lethal injections.
Yes. Well, as I understand, part of the problem is a lot of the companies that are responsible for manufacturing these drugs are refusing to make them. And because a lot of these companies are refusing to make these drugs, a lot of the states that use lethal injection are having a tough time getting a steady supply of them.
That really surprises me, I have to tell you. I mean, you could charge a pretty penny for those drugs, I would imagine, if you're a company.
It could be a lucrative side gig.
Hey, look, I mean, you know, I need to make a little extra money. So do you. You got a kid coming.
True.
On the heels of Governor Cuomo's lifting of COVID restrictions earlier this week, we're now hearing that the Mets will return to full seating capacity at Citi Field. Now, this is going to happen Monday, which is the start of the next homestand, so that makes sense. Also, fans aren't going to have to whip out their white cards or their Excelsior passes to prove that they've had a negative COVID test or a vaccine to get in. However, unvaccinated fans still have to wear a mask. But of course, how will anyone at the stadium know if they have or haven't been if they aren't going to be asking for the proof? So I don't know.
I guess they're hoping the honor system
will
work out there.
Yeah, I don't know about
The World Bank is refusing to help El Salvador get set up to use Bitcoin. A spokesperson says they have concerns over transparency and the environmental impact of Bitcoin mining. The Central American country became the first in the world this month to approve the digital currency at all businesses in the next 3 months. But this setback could cause a delay in hitting that deadline.
Well, Frank, you discuss this frequently on your show, The Other Side of Midnight, from 1 to 5 a.m., Monday through Friday. UFOs, extraterrestrial life, you know, these types of sightings. This news is slightly unnerving, I have to say. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are a little worried, I guess you could say, to say the least, when it comes to UFOs. One saying, quote, clearly something's going on that we can't handle. Now, politicians yesterday had a briefing by the Navy and the FBI. This was specifically for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, the subcommittees on counterterrorism, counterintelligence, and counterproliferation. Okay, so it was a, you know, pretty decent number of people. A Pentagon report on these unexplained occurrences, as you know, is set to be released sometime this month. But, of course, folks like Adam Schiff and some others, you know, some of these top folks had seen bits of this report already. They had a peek earlier this month, and although they won't say what they saw, it was clear that they are concerned about threats to national security at the very least.
It looks like murder hornets are back. A dead Asian giant hornet was found about 30 miles from Seattle, Washington. Officials in Washington say it was very dried out and had a different color than previous hornets discovered elsewhere in the state and in Canada. But they think it may have died in a previous season. Asian giant hornets can destroy a honeybee colony in about 15 minutes.
So basically, they are like disgusting cicadas, except they're more dangerous.
Much more dangerous, yes. Especially to bees.
Charming. Well, it is going to be a hot night July 4th here in the city. The Macy's 4th of July Spectacular will be super spectacular this year as the country, as the city rather, unlocks its restrictions, most of the restrictions. Tonight, hundreds of lucky folks are going to see their first live concert since the pandemic began. Coldplay, the band, great, fantastic band. Americans love them. They are a British band, but they are putting on a free show that's going to be part of the televised 4th of July show. That show that they're taping, the concert that they're doing, is tonight at Hunters Point South Park. Now, they actually announced this on their Twitter and on their social media sites, and immediately the band gives us the heads up on Twitter, and all of a sudden tickets quickly get snapped up. So I'm sorry if you were jumping at the chance of being able to see them, but you will not be able to unless you have some VIP access or something like that. But still, another concert we're hearing about, which is great.
Absolutely. It seems like life is just about back to normal across every sector of society, including, as you mentioned, sports. A man that knows a thing or two about sports and this incredible New York Mets win streak that just will not be stopped. Break up the Mets, Sid Rosenberg.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. You're right, Frank. The Mets have done it again. They beat the Cubs last night, 6-3, the final score. They've won all three. They're now 10 games over 500. Again, a nice size lead atop the NL East. 5 up on the Phillies, 7.5 up on the Braves now. They win it 6-3. The bad news is that starter Jacob DeGrom only went 3 scoreless innings. He had to leave the game with shoulder soreness. By the way, he's pitching to a 0.54 ERA. You've never seen anything like this. He's getting better. But he did exit after the third inning last night. Here was DeGrom on the injury.
My shoulder was sore, back of it, and just wanted to say something to be smart. But like I said, this is frustrating. I want to be out there as long as I can be out there. Felt really good tonight early on. And then, you know, like I said, in third, just got pretty sore.
Dominic Smith, his 6th home run. Kevin Pillar, his 5th home run. Again, the Mets get the win. The Yankees won 2 behind Gerrit Cole. He's been pretty good, too. 8 innings, only 2 runs. He's now got 8 wins on the season. He's 8-3 and pitching to a 2.31 ERA. They beat the Blue Jays 3-2. Red-hot Gary Sanchez, his 10th home run of the year. With baseball cracking down on starters with all that, you know, sticky stuff, here's Gerrit Cole on gripping the baseball.
Cheers. Really windy early, very tough to grip the ball, but wind died down later in the game, and I got some more feels.
Yankees improved to 35-32. They're in third place inside the American League East, 7 back of the Tampa Bay Rays. They will drop the puck on the island tonight as the Islanders get set to take on Tampa Bay in a Game 3. That game starts at 7:30, and that series right now is tied at 1 apiece. Excuse me, that game starts at 8. In Milwaukee tonight, Game 6 of the Nets and the Bucks. The Nets have a chance to move on with a road win to the Eastern Conference Finals. 8:30 tip time in Milwaukee tonight. That series is 3-2. The winner of that series will take on the winner of the Hawks and the top seed 76ers. Don't look now, but the Hawks came back from a 26-point deficit last night, beat the 76ers 109-106, and now the Hawks lead that series 3-2 out west. The Clippers, without Kawhi Leonard, They win last night, beat the top seed Utah Jazz. They're awaiting to take on the Phoenix Suns in the next round if they get one more victory. But again, the big news, the Mets, they win again. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. But sports at 15 and 45, I'm Sid.
517, traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe.
Frank, Juliet, Sid, we're all in good shape coming inbound from Long Island. LIE, northern, southern states, all three moving very well coming out of Nassau County into the city. You have really no issues there whatsoever. Same thing at the Hudson River crossings, only minor delays in Westchester. All the parkways coming down towards the Crossbox Expressway look to be in pretty good shape. Also, as you travel in New Jersey on 82, 82, 87, 19, 22, all again moving along at a very nice clip. Mass Transit even behaving themselves on or close the schedule and alternate. That again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Every day I wait for the next interest rate update, and Frank is bringing it to me.
That's right.
Frank, who will soon be a father.
That's right. If you're interested in interest rates, stay tuned.
Yes, if you're interested in interest rates from a future father whose child will be born on right around December 6th, is it, or 9th?
6th.
6th. Fantastic. Yes, please listen after the break.
This is the WABC Early News.
520, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. The opening bell rings this morning after investors spent yesterday pulling some of their money out of the markets. At the close, the Dow Jones lost 265 points. The S&P 500 fell almost 23 points, and the NASDAQ slid 33 points. The Federal Reserve is holding interest rates steady. During a news briefing yesterday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell called it part of ongoing strong support for the economic recovery. He said the COVID-related economic crisis has not fallen equally on all Americans. Powell also noted the Fed is keeping a close eye on inflation as the recovery progresses. A Fed statement called inflationary pressures transitory. The target range for the federal funds rate is staying between 0 and 0.25%. Powell played down weakness in the labor market and argued the U.S. is on a path to a very strong labor market. He said it's expected to keep building during the summer, continuing into the fall, Juliet.
Thank you, Dad. All right, who says passport photos have to look like mugshots? I'm going to tell you where to go to get an Instagram-worthy shot that every traveler will be envious of. That is coming up on your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. But first, let's get to some more headlines. And Frank, I have an update on Tuesday night's bipartisan bread breaking. As you mentioned yesterday, the recently renovated U.S. Naval Observatory was the site of a women-only dinner hosted by Vice President Kamala Harris, who obviously she lives there with Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff. 21 of the 24 Democratic and GOP ladies serving in Senate were on hand for a summer garden tower, roasted mahi-mahi paired with California wines, of course, and some sort of strawberry rhubarb and vanilla ice cream dessert. That's all I had to say.
Sounds
I just wanted to tell you
delicious.
What the menu was about. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds nice. What is a summer garden? What is that? Summer garden tower? I wonder if that's like vegetables.
Well, it probably has some fruit in there, too. You know how some salads have orange or something in them? That's what it sounds like.
Or maybe it was like some shellfishy type stuff.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I don't know. We'll look it up.
All right, let's look it up.
Shares in drug maker CureVac are taking a beating in early trading after the German pharmaceutical company reported disappointing results in a study of its coronavirus vaccine. CureVac's experimental vaccine was only 47% effective in a large clinical study with 40,000 people. The company said results suggested the vaccine is effective for younger people, but not for those age 60 and older. CureVac also said the spread of new coronavirus variants might have had an effect on the disappointing results.
We have a royal alert. A royal alert, people. My last one before my parting to Italy. Prince Harry is going to be heading back once again to the United Kingdom, this time to be on hand for the dedication, Frank, of that statue in honor of his late mom, Princess Diana. Now, this event is happening at Kensington Palace next month, actually the 1st of July. Royal insiders have been fretting over this day. They have been fretting and freaking basically, given Harry's drama with the royal family, but especially his drama with his brother, Prince William. They're both supposed to be on hand. They were both supposed to, like, give this joint speech. Now, apparently, it's going to be separate speeches. And now, a producer for one of the UK's television networks says that she is hearing that Harry's wife, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, will not be joining him as originally planned. The excuse coming from Meghan's camp is simply, oh my God, people, she just had a kid. But more cynical observers say it's likely that she's bailing on this historic day because she has alienated and feels alienated by many in the country, particularly the royal family. So we shall see.
Is New Zealand still part of the Commonwealth? Do they still have the Queen on their money?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Well, we're going to research that as well. New Zealand's Prime Minister says any movie about the deadly attacks on two mosques should focus on the Muslim community. A movie is in the works about the March of 2019 attacks by a white supremacist that killed over 50 people. The film They Are Us reportedly focuses on Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's response to the mass shooting. A Muslim organization in New Zealand has said it's still too soon for any movie about the shootings. Producers of the already controversial project say they'll be consulting with victims and their families as filming moves on.
The answer is yes. They are still part of the Commonwealth, 52-member Commonwealth.
So in some ways, that could be considered an extension of the Royal Alert.
Exactly. Yeah, look at you. Very creative. Very clever.
Yes, thank you.
These wacky presidential offspring, Hunter Biden seems to not have a problem with sticking his neck out into the fray again. First, it was his somewhat sordid memoir. Now the controversial first kid is ruffling feathers in the political and art worlds. In all seriousness, I'm going to say this. He is a really good artist from what I've seen. He does this watercolory, I don't know if you've seen some of the pieces, but they're like these watercolory looking abstract pieces. I'd actually buy, not for $500,000. That is how much a shady art dealer, the Biden boy, is linked to, says that Biden's pieces will go for. The 51-year-old reportedly decided last year to essentially go pro, as they say, and claims that he is now a full-time painter. His first solo exhibit is planned for this fall in New York City. I mean, honestly, why go to the gallery when the real performance is going to be outside? I mean, can you imagine? Anyway, that dealer of his art, the art, not the drugs, was busted back in the 90s for assault and making terrorist threats. But, you know, the art world is filled with characters, Frank. Georges Berge is his name, the art dealer. And he says Biden's pieces will start at $75,000. Buyers could choose to remain anonymous, which, of course, leads some to wonder whether he's setting himself up to folks hoping to gain access to his famous dad.
Well, yeah, I could see that being a concern.
I mean, come on.
Speaking of his famous dad, Osama bin Laden's niece is protesting the Biden-Putin summit with a large sign declaring, quote, Trump won. Video on Twitter shows Noor bin Laden on a boat with others on Lake Geneva yesterday outside the summit between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. In the video, bin Laden is seen holding a sign pushing the unfounded claim that Trump won last year's election. Noor bin Laden is a vocal Trump supporter.
Yeah, actually, she's the daughter, I believe, of bin Laden's brother, Yeslam.
Yes.
And yeah, she also tweeted later, by the way, she's definitely tripling down, quadrupling down. She tweeted later, Trump won and all of this is theatrics. I guess she would know theatrics. I mean, apparently it's in her family's blood. And she also continued on that the president of the United States is a senile pedo who has sold out America to his globalist masters for years.
I'm sure President Trump was happy to have her. Yes,
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of relative to bin Laden.
527, someone who is not believed to be related to any terrorists is
especially not the bin Laden.
Exactly.
No.
Has a lot of answers for your commute to work this morning at 527. Joe Nolan's got traffic and transit on the 7s. How is it looking, Joe?
Well, pretty good, actually, to be honest with you. Really not that much out there. We've got the Verrazano Bridge, again, the usual stuff as you begin to travel. Staten Island bound on the upper level. There was a tractor trailer apparently somewhere along the way that has one lane at least blocked as you get over to Staten Island. Now, as you travel on the Grand Central, there is road work on the outbound side at Ditmars Boulevard. That'll continue for a little while longer. A lot of overnight road work tonight, so just be aware of all of that as the sun starts to brighten the sky and alternates out of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect citywide. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, we've got Jerry Camerota coming up next. I love this man. He is so sweet. I mean, I know you know him, Frank. He is kind of like the dad expert and perfect guest to have just in time for Father's Day and perfect guest to have today because, of course, Frank is going to be a father. He's going to talk about his Father's Day, his father's book. And also coming up in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update, a website for folks who want to save money on hotels. You think that might be you? Stay tuned. And headlines with Deb up next.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, in Hong Kong this morning, hundreds of police officers swarmed the offices of the pro-democracy Apple Daily. Five executives arrested in what was called a blatant attack on its editorial team. A brief internet outage hit airlines, banks, stock exchanges, and trading platforms this morning. Akamai Technologies blamed that brief outage on a key piece of internet infrastructure which failed, causing the outage to its global delivery network. An emergency meeting about Washington Square Park unrest held between the NYPD and residents at Our Lady of Pompeii Church last night. NYPD Chief Rodney Harrison was there, as was James Hughes. Hughes told the crowd the 10 p.m. curfew, when not enforced, spikes crime.
Two people were stabbed. A person that was filming this was robbed of his camera and assaulted. And the arch was graffiti, thousands of dollars worth of damage to the arch.
So residents told cops are concerned about things like loud noise and drug and alcohol use, and they want the 10 p.m. curfew enforced. Some said that midnight was okay. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy announced yesterday that this Friday will be a state holiday to commemorate Juneteenth or June 19th, the day marking the end to slavery in the U.S. It is expected to become the nation's 12th holiday when President Biden signs legislation passed by Congress yesterday into law this afternoon. All stock futures falling in early trading this morning after the Federal Reserve yesterday announced a possible rate hike in 2023. That's your WABC 70-second news update. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Sunshine today, our high 79. Mostly clear skies overnight, the low 62, and tomorrow, sunshine, the high 81. That's your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, 61, clear skies. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine, where the news never stops at WABCRadio.com.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer. WABC Early News time is 5:31. By the way, Frank, before we get into our guest, on this day, back in, I believe it was 1631, if I'm not mistaken. I remember it so well. Mumtaz Mahal dies during childbirth. Her husband, Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan I, then spends more than 20 years building her tomb. We know it today as the Taj Mahal. It's not only one of the world's most famous mausoleums, but it's also one of the greatest symbols of love and devotion. I think that is the perfect, perfect segue to our next guest, who, by the way, is a father as Frank, Jerry Camerota. I don't know if you heard this, but Frank announced today that he and his wife, the beautiful and brilliant Rachel, are expecting their first child in December.
Oh, mazel tov. That is terrific. Congratulations, Frank.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I mean, the reason we're having you on is purely selfish, so I can get some fatherhood tips from the go-to expert here.
Well, by the way, Jerry Camerota is he's done many things. He was the dean of student affairs, I believe it is, for a certain college, at Touro College.
Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine.
There you go. There, you said it, I didn't. And he's also, I know him best as the author of The Fun Book of Fatherhood, which is such a wonderful thing. And it's so great because Jerry and I are friends on Facebook, and he became friendly with my mom on Facebook. And so he offered his book to my mom to give to my brother. It's just so sweet because my brother has a three-year-old now, his first kid. So just such a wonderful person. And Jerry, I'm so happy to have you here on this very special day for our little WABC Early News family. Tell us a little bit about this book and what sort of the impetus was for it.
Well, the book was an important book in my life because it made me aware of the fact that I wasn't spending enough time with my first and second child. And because of that, I decided to write a book that would try to allow parents to understand how much they really do have to love their children, how they have to share experiences with them, how they need to support them in life. So when they're having a tough time, the parents are there and can really give them the lift that they need, give them self-esteem and how to solve problems. And what I realized was it's all out there. Everything is so incredibly vividly clear if you look at the animal kingdom, because every day the animals do that with their young. And if the examples are so rich there, using those examples could help us be better parents. So the book really revolves around a number of stories about how animals live their lives, and it's a great teaching tool for parents to use to become better parents and ultimately to have more rich children in our lives.
Well, if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Jerry Camerota, a good friend of mine, the author of the book, The Fun Book of Fatherhood, A Paternity Leave Dad, Tale of a Pioneer. He also has a lot of experience not only as an educational administrator, but as a commissioner in the Giuliani administration and a former member of the Board of Education when it existed. Now, Jerry, a lot of people may not be familiar with your story. Back in 1973, you made history by becoming the first father in the United States to fight for and win paternity leave from the New York City Board of Education. And then that resulted in a new regulation at the federal EEOC. This is something that people just take for granted now because you were such a pioneer in that regard. Explain to folks what the situation was like back then. I imagine when you told a lot of your colleagues that you were trying to take paternity leave and you were going to do whatever you could legally to get it, a lot of them looked at you cross-eyed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in that day, we're talking 50 years ago, it wasn't the thing to do. I mean, daddy goes to work and mommy stays at home. And that's the way we built our communities. And it appeared to be a very productive way. But when you think about it, it was very unproductive because it really created a mechanism where the father was taken away from the daily chores and the daily experiences that they very often, I really believe in back then, wanted to participate in, but really couldn't. And if it wasn't, interestingly, and to credit to Juliet, if it wasn't for the women's movement and the work that they did in getting their equal rights, it never would have happened in terms of getting paternity leave established on the books. So nothing is done in isolation. I think we all work cooperatively together. We see things that are happening, and we take those opportunities to make our lives just a little bit better. And when you look over the last 50 years, for example, it was my historic leave in the 70s. Then came Carter's White House Conference on Families. Then came Clinton's Family Medical mm-hmm. Leave Act. And today we're still talking about it, and only 7% of dads throughout the country enjoy a paid family leave. So things move very, very slowly. We're talking about it now. We do not have a national family policy, a national family paid leave policy. So no matter what state you go to, dads can be treated fairly. I think dads want that opportunity to hug their children a little bit more. I think moms and dads want that opportunity to share in those experiences in the household and yes. to show children that whatever you want to do when you grow up, you can do it because you see mommy and you see daddy doing it.
Get this
the
book, guys.
Do it that way, and we should too.
Yeah, get this book, The Fun Book of Fatherhood by Jerry Camerota, and I'm going to post a link to it on my Twitter at Jet Set Juliet. And by the way, I just saw the picture on your Facebook of my brother reading the book with his daughter, Eliana, and I burst into tears, of course, because I'm just completely emotional today for many reasons, not the least of which is that Frank announced that he's having his own little rugrat. So I'm just psyched. Jerry, it's so good to have you on the show. We love you. And please, I have a feeling Frank is going to be calling you.
Absolutely.
Well, he can call me anytime he wants, and it's nice that America wakes up to Juliet and Frank every morning.
Thanks,
on WABC.
Thank you, Jerry. The book is The Fun Book of Fatherhood. It's a fun book with a lot of animal references. So whether you're a parent or an animal lover, it's a book worth checking out. Its author is Dr. Jerry Camerata. Joe Nolan's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hey there, Joe.
No matter what anybody tells you, it changes every second of your life being a parent.
You know, I've only heard that about 90 times so far in the last hour.
And you won't realize it until it happens.
I have no doubt that that's true.
All right, as we begin to travel around, we're in good shape. Really not a big deal coming inbound LIE, northern, southern states. Everybody rolling right along as you start to come in towards the Cross Island Parkway. Then further west, building up a little bit on the LIE, getting in through Queens Boulevard. Same thing up through lower Brooklyn, starting to build now coming away from the area of Industry City up towards the Brooklyn Bridge. Inbound Lincoln, Holland, George, still only minor delays at this point, so we're in good shape. Mass Transit also running right on or close to schedule this morning. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. The support service of Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Business, Frank.
Well, coming up, I am going to tell you about the jobs numbers. They're not what you think they might be.
Okay, and a world organization that knows a thing or two about clean water puts out its list of the cleanest in the world to swim in, and one island comes out on top. That's in my Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:40. A down day on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow falling 265 points, the S&P 500 falling 23 points, and the Nasdaq sliding 33 points. The weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment benefits comes out this morning, and analysts expect to see the declining trend continue. They're forecasting 367,000 Americans filing initial claims, which would be a drop of 9,000 from the previous week. The report is due out at 8:30 this morning. Americans are worried about inflation as a result of President Biden's spending plans. A new poll from Monmouth University found 71% are concerned about that possibility. That includes 47% who say they're very concerned about inflation coming from Biden's spending proposals. Biden is looking to spend more money on things like infrastructure. However, he and Republicans have not come to an agreement on how to pay for it, Juliet.
All right, your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jet Set Juliet. Good news for the unvaccinated. You may be at risk of getting really sick or dying from the fast-spreading Delta COVID variant, people, but you are allowed to visit the EU now without having to hunker down once you get there. The Alliance announced Wednesday that they are updating their white list, as they call it, ending quarantine for all travelers, regardless of whether you've been vaccinated or not. The change goes into effect in the next few days. Now, I'm guessing if you haven't been vaxxed, you are going to need to show proof of a recent negative COVID test, which, by the way, means that you are handing over your personal health information, just like you would your COVID vaccination proof and a vaccine passport. So I'm not sure why this is still an issue, but that's that. And that's good news for you folks who have not been vaccinated yet. Most of us would love a set of luxury luggage, but most of us can't afford it. Rimowa is one of those super luxe brands that I speak of. It's likely you haven't even considered walking into one of their boutiques, if you're like me, given the cost of these things is like $600 for a piece that you know that'll fit in the cabin with you, and $1,200 for one that you have to check in. But people do like to splurge once in a while, and that's what the company is banking on with this latest scheme that they've unveiled. They're offering free passport photos inside their Soho store. No free swag, sadly, just the pics, but you get two. Rimowa says the new studio has been designed to create an elevated environment for a passport photo shoot. I mean, who really wants a photo taken at CVS, right? In addition to the highball pictures, you will be allowed to sit in the boutique's lounge awaiting your session. And if you are the type of smart traveler that likes to shop around and kind of marinate on prices and properties, I've got a great site for you to download. So do it now. It's called Hopper, H-O-P-P-E-R. And it's doing something most places don't, price freezing. So basically, you get onto the app, you find your hotel, and then you pay a deposit to lock in that exact price for a period of time. Now, if the price increases between the time that you freeze the hotel room and then book it, Hopper will cover the difference up to $100. But I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. This is great for folks who are not ready to make that commitment to the particular property, but you love the price, or, you know, you don't know if your boss is going to give you time off, or you don't know your exact schedule. I mean, you get it. And of course, that deposit will turn over into a credit and you'll just have to pay the balance when you book. So I think that's a really good deal. Now, if you're thinking about planning a vacation and you want the cleanest, most amazing water in which to swim, may I present to you Cyprus. I've been there. It's an island near Italy, Syria, and is kind of a mix of Greek, Turkish, and other small ethnic groups. The European Environmental Agency certainly seems to love the place. It scored a perfect 100% as far as its swimming water goes. Now, overall, most of the water around Europe is considered top-notch. Austria's swimming waters were right behind Cyprus, followed by Greece, Malta, and Croatia. All of those countries' bathing sites are considered excellent. And finally, the British Virgin Islands, they are axing their quarantine requirements, but only for vaxxed travelers. And that is your final Jet Set Juliet travel update for the next week or so.
Wow.
I hope
folks took it all in. We are going to be doing travel updates in your absence.
You
but
are.
They will not be Jet Set Juliet travel updates. They will be...
Well.
You know, paling in comparison.
But I will. I will call in, and I will do my own on-the-scene Jet Set Juliet travel update for you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Terrific. We are going to
Not
be having
day.
Sid Rosenberg, though, do sports while you're away. 5:45. Sid, what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, let's start with the Mets, Frank and Juliet. They've been the story of the summer. They won again. They are just on fire, beating the Cubs 6-3, the final score. Not all good news. Starter Jacob deGrom pitching to a 0.54 ERA. You heard that right. 0.54, left the game after three scoreless innings, had some shoulder stiffness, but the Mets got some offense last night. Dominic Smith, the home run, Kevin Pillar, home run, and they go on to win it. Reed Foley got the win in DeGrom's absence. Here was, in fact, Kevin Pillar, who homered last night on the Mets getting hits all over the place.
To score six runs on five hits just shows the willingness to pass the baton to the next guy. No one's trying to do too much at the plate. We believe in, you know, all eight guys and the ninth guy when Jake's hitting to come up with big hits.
I'll be checking on DeGrom today. The Mets are now 10 games over 500, 35-25. They lead the second-place Joe Girardi Philadelphia Phillies by five. Yankees won last night behind Gerrit Cole's eighth win of the year. He went eight innings. They win by a final of 3-2 over Toronto. Gary Sanchez, he's been hot, his 10th home run of the year. The Yanks improve to three games over 500. They're in third place inside the American League East right now, seven back of the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. Talking about Tampa Bay, game three tonight, Islanders and Lightning. The series shifts to Nassau Coliseum right here on Long Island. Now, Islander coach Barry Trotz telling his players, be careful, Tampa Bay is looking for power plays.
Just play it straight up. Our guys don't go down. If they do, they hear it from me. I'm not a big believer in that. I think it's not the right way to play. So, we don't want to be in the box. Referees have a tough enough job, and so just play it straight up.
Game six tonight, Milwaukee. The Nets have a chance to move on and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lead that series 3-2. They take on the winner of the Hawks 76ers series. That series is now 3-2 Atlanta. The Hawks won last night. Out west, the Clippers won last night. They lead their series now 3-2 over the top seed Utah Jazz. The winner of that takes on the Phoenix Suns. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
5:47, traffic and transit on the 7s every 10 minutes. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, Frank, on the Connecticut Turnpike southbound coming into exit 16, there's an accident now. Two lanes are going to be out of service as you come in through there. Now, we also have a problem Staten Island bound horizontal lower level. Two lanes are going to be closed as you get across, and again, just volume and also road work. But again, one lane at least is open as you get over to Staten Island on that lower level, and they're getting that all out of the way. Turnpike Parkway 7822, all that in New Jersey moving along very, very nicely. So is Mass Transit, really, at this point, pretty much right on or close close to schedule, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Indeed. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Study about the have and have nots when it comes to people who have and have not children. That is coming up. Also, weather right next, right after the break.
This is the WABC Early News.
Thank you, Tom, the announcer. We still don't know his name. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, just like yesterday, it's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. Lots of sunshine, a high of around 79 degrees. It will be toasty in the sun, but the great thing is that the humidity is basically, it's barely there, 33%. Great news. Friday, going to be a bit warmer, up to about 84 degrees. Some clouds will be rolling in, but it is going to be a sunny, cloudy day, you know, a mix, which is actually going to be kind of nice to have that cloud cover when it really starts to beat down. Again, humidity going to be really low, only about 40%. Saturday, we're looking at 86 degrees and 59% humidity. So we will obviously feel that moistness in the air, and that is because we can expect some scattered thunderstorms and showers throughout the day, although we will probably see some sun peek out there. Sunday looks really nice, 86 degrees, and the humidity's kind of up there. A few clouds from time to time. Monday, as we head into the work week, 87 degrees, partly cloudy skies. And right now, it's 60 degrees in New York City.
Further testing will be done on a urine sample of Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit. A judge ruled yesterday two members of the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission must travel to a lab chosen by trainer Bob Baffert and the horse's owners to witness the division of the colt's post-race sample. Baffert sued the KHRC to get a portion of the sample. The Hall of Fame trainer says Medina Spirit's failed test for a steroid is the result of a topical ointment, not an injection.
Well, Frank, I just like to let everybody know, if you're late to today's WABC Early News Party, my colleague and my great buddy Frank Morano announced earlier today that he and his beautiful and brilliant wife, Rachel, are soon to be first-time parents. I'm very excited for them.
Thank you. We're excited, too.
Oh, so excited for you. And speaking of, interesting news about people who have kids, like Frank and Rachel soon, and those of us who don't. Researchers at Michigan State University studied nearly 1,000 adults around the state, and they were asked about life satisfaction. The results, more people choosing not to have kids. So that was a big surprise to apparently these researchers. I guess more people these days are saying, you know what, we're just not going to have kids. We can, we just don't want to. But that's not the headline that jumped out at me. They also found people who don't have kids are just as satisfied with life in general as people who do. I mean, If you talk to my mom, she'd say that. She'd be like, Juliet, I mean, really, it's not that big of a deal that you weren't even. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I guess I don't blame her, though. But that's still not the headline, Frank, at least not in my opinion. Mm. The finding that I find so interesting is that parents tend to feel substantially less warm to some of those who don't have kids, specifically those who chose not to have kids. Not people like me who can't, but those who decided that they simply did not want to be parents. Apparently, they're kind of looked down upon. Another interesting revelation, people who choose not to have kids tend to be more liberal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, none of that surprises me. Just based on my anecdotal observations,
yeah.
I have seen sort of moms look down upon some parents, but especially women, not parents, but adults, mm-hmm. especially women who choose not to have children. And I've always had a problem with it. So that the results of that study does not surprise me in the least.
Well, it's interesting because I had to break up a friendship of mine because of the fact that I heard from another friend that this woman said, you know, there's got to be something wrong with her that she doesn't want kids. And, first of all, I did want kids. I just didn't want them with the wrong person. And then when I finally found the right person, the eggs had hatched and run away. So I think that's terrible because some people, it's just, it's just not in their blood. Doesn't mean they're bad.
Right. Of course not.
Yeesh.
Maybe it's not for everybody. From Inglewood, California, it's the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. The first college football bowl game to be played at Los Angeles' new SoFi Stadium will officially be called the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl. The late-night host announced the name of the December 18th bowl game during his show last night, and the name may stick. Kimmel and SoFi Stadium officials say they've reached an unprecedented multi-year partnership. The game will pit the number one selection from the Mountain West Conference against the number five selection from the Pac-12 Conference.
Jeff Bezos, as you know, is heading to space soon, so he probably isn't fretting too much over this latest news. More than 6,000 people, and this is as of yesterday, so the number's probably skyrocketed, they've signed a petition calling for him to be denied reentry after he heads back from the ends of the earth. The Bezos busters say that he is taking over the world, and they compare him to the Superman villain Lex Luthor, and they want him gone, like really gone, like out of this world gone. So the haters may be trying to keep him off the planet, but I'm guessing there is one person who does want him to come back. His girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, was spotted Monday with a heart-shaped rock on her left ring finger, and it was big, and it was sparkly, and it probably was not cubic zirconia. Does the world's richest man want to put a ring on it before he fires off to space? Did he? Stay tuned.
Well, speaking of diamonds, Juliet, a giant diamond weighing nearly half a pound has been found in Botswana.
Whoa.
The diamond firm Debswana says the stone, which is over 1,000 carats, was unearthed recently at its diamond mine in southern Africa. An official with the company said it's the largest diamond ever to be recovered by Debswana in its 50-year history and could be the world's third largest gem-quality stone.
Oh, wow. That sounds nice. I have another discovery. It's nothing like this one, but it is cool, though. And this time it's right here in our own backyard. For hundreds of years, shipwreck hunters and historians have been on a quest to find the Griffin. The vessel disappeared on its maiden voyage back in 1679, and it's considered the Holy Grail for hunters scouring the Great Lakes. It was built by the French explorer René Robert Cavelier, he wanted to help find a route through the lakes to China and Japan. Silly René. Well, now a husband-wife team think that they have found this sunken treasure in Lake Michigan. Now, they've been working on this. They say that they have confirmed that it is the Griffin. The ship was delivering, apparently, a cargo of furs, which sadly won't amount to any monetary treasure. But the feat of discovering the ship is reward in itself, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Why not? That's quite a discovery.
I agree.
Today is...
It's no diamond.
No, it's not. Today is an opportunity to continue with a healthy part of your diet. It's National Eat Your Vegetables Day. The food items your parents always made you eat can contain protein, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. USDA dietary guidelines recommend eating 3 to 5 servings of veggies each day. Vegetable Day also falls in the middle of National Fresh Fruit and Vegetables Month.
Oh, I do love a veggie.
As do I. What's your favorite?
Artichoke.
Really?
Oh, I
like artichokes, too.
Oh.
But if I had to pick a favorite, it would be the mushroom. Although, I guess, is a fungus technically a vegetable?
Oh, I thought you were saying, as a fun guy,
I am fun, but...
I'm more of a broccoli Rob type. Yeah. Broccoli's great, too. So, what is your favorite veggie, Mr. Nolan?
Peas.
Peas.
Wow, that's weird.
It's a weird pick.
I'm very basic. I do not like artichokes at all.
Oh God!
What about a stuffed artichoke?
No, my wife apparently makes stellar stuffed artichokes, and I can't eat them.
Just leave them au naturel.
You're still together, so.
Yeah, I mean, I like corn. I like peas. I like string beans. You know, I mean,
these are the worst vegetables.
So corny.
Hey, that's what I grew up on, out of the Del Monte can, you know?
Whatever.
I mean, that's what I grew up
Whatever
on.
With you and your weird vegetable tasting.
All right, Mr. Pease. Well, what's happening on the traffic?
People.
We have construction on the southbound side of the Bruckner coming down to the Sheridan. There's an accident there. That's still being cleared. So we still have this problem up in Connecticut. Southbound I-95, the Connecticut Turnpike at exit 16 in East Norwalk. An accident. Two lanes are out of service as you get through there. Again, the center median. There's a spin out as well. So this might be there a little while because they got to get him all straightened out before they get it out of the way. So again, southbound I-95 Connecticut Turnpike at exit 16, that ongoing accident. Now, other than that, again, like I've been saying, we're actually in pretty good shape. Minor delays still inbound at the Hudson River crossings, and alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. This report of service of UPSjobs.com, ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $20 an hour at an active job that you'll take pride in. Enjoy big-time growth opportunities with Team UPS. Search and apply now, upsjobs.com/Saddlebrook. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Maybe that's why Scott Shannon, was it Scott Shannon that called you Joseph P. Nolan?
No, that was Scott. That had nothing to do with that I like peas.
I don't know. But, anyway, thanks, Joe. It is traditional, P-boy. It's traditional for world leaders, Frank, to give each other gifts when they meet for these big sit-downs. True to form, President Biden participated in this tradition. He gave Vlad a crystal sculpture of an American bison by Steuben Glass out of New York. And he also threw in something a little more personal. He loves those aviators, so he actually gave Vladimir Putin aviator sunglasses by Randolph USA, which provides them to military and NATO partners.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Nice
gift.
I agree. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, Deb Valentine's got the news, and Sid Rosenberg has sports. Joe Nolan has some more traffic. I have some interesting stories, which you'll be talking about all day. The WABC Early News with Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano continues. Here's Deb Valentine.
1071 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York. From around the world, the rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
Couple of minutes after 6 o'clock, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, joined for the final time in 2 weeks by the Gracie Award-winning Juliette Huddy.
Well, thank you very much, Frank, and I am joining Mr. Frank Morano, who will soon be a father for the first time. He announced that wonderful news earlier today on The Other Side of Midnight. He and Rachel are expecting a baby to be hatched in December, and we could not be happier for him and for her.
Thank you very much.
Cannot wait for you.
We're excited as well.
Yes, I'm sure you are. And by the way, Christian and Gabby are here. As you heard, Deb is here with headlines, and Sid is back with sports momentarily. But this Putin-Biden summit, I mean, it's getting rave reviews from some, massive criticism from others. It kind of depends on, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you like Biden or hate him. It seems like that. It goes down party lines. But I think it's interesting because the summit began, if you look at the pictures that some of these reporters posted, it's really hysterical. It began a lot like the U.S.-Russia relationship. Chaos. U.S. journalists say that they were manhandled by Russian security guards and also Russian journalists. And according to some of the world's journalists who were kind of posted outside this villa where the two leaders were meeting, they posted pictures on social media documenting this melee, quite a contradiction to the beautiful, elegant 18th century villa at which this conference was being held. So, I mean, it seemed like it was chaotic outside, but it seemed like it was maybe slightly mellow inside. I mean, I think the two were able to have some level of respect for each other. At least that's what's being reported. As far as that other summit a few years ago, Frank, someone on hand who, to be fair, is not a fan of former President Donald Trump is speaking out. Fiona Hill, you probably remember her. She was part of the impeachment. She testified. She says things were so alarming at the Trump-Putin press conference back in 2018 that she actually tried to figure out an excuse to stop it. She says she even looked around for a fire alarm to pull. Hill was highly respected when it came to being an advisor for Russia, and she says she was unnerved at what she says was the then president's deferential behavior to the Russian leader.
How much would you pay for a Super Bowl ad?
A Super Bowl ad?
Mm-hmm.
$100?
No, come on.
Well, you're asking me how I wouldn't pay. I don't know, $100.
All right. Well, you are not even in the ballpark. Companies interested in advertising in next year's Super Bowl may want to start saving up. Variety reporting, NBC is putting a price tag of, get ready for this one, $6 million for a 30-second commercial during the game.
Yeah.
Additionally, the broadcaster is reportedly informing those looking to advertise in a prime time slot that they will also have to purchase spot times for the Beijing Winter Olympics, which is set to take place the same year. Super Bowl 56 kicks off February 13th, 2022.
Now, as far as I remember from my years back in journalism and paying attention to television journalism, I think, wasn't it like $300,000 a spot?
Yes.
I don't remember it being
No, this
so
is
crazy.
A record.
Well, I'm guessing maybe it's because they think that people are so excited about the Super Bowl because of the pandemic.
And well, I mean, assuming that's part of it, I also think part of it is that there are so few live television events that people watch these days. You've seen this with the decline of the Academy Awards.
Yep.
Now we're pretty much in an era, with the exception of sports, and this is the granddaddy of all sporting events, with the exception of sports, people are used to watching whatever they want to watch whenever they want to watch it, whether it's talk shows or sitcoms or dramas or reality TV. People kind of just say, all right, I want to watch my favorite program at XYZ time. They don't stay up till 11:30 to watch The Tonight Show anymore.
Well, they listen to Joe Nolan's traffic reports because he likes peas.
Right. If you were to listen to the podcast of Joe Nolan's traffic report 5 hours from now, it wouldn't do you much good.
You know? No, it'd be bad, actually. All right, let's go outside and show you a couple things. First off, we've got ourselves some issues on the Connecticut Turnpike. As you travel southbound, coming down into Exit 16, there is a multi-vehicle accident there. It's in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Now, you're also going to be looking at a little bit of a problem now starting to build inbound at the Lincoln and Holland Tunnels, George Washington Bridge, starting to build up a bit. Still very slow now, coming westbound on the LIE, pretty much from the Van Wyck, in through Queens Boulevard. And then also, as you start to head southbound on the New England Thruway, a little bit of delay coming into the Bruckner Interchange. Now, mass transit there, everybody on or close, and alternate side of the street parking rules again this morning are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, sir. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we are going to have another gorgeous day. Lots of sunshine, light winds, very low humidity with a high of 79 degrees, kind of a duplicate of what we saw yesterday. Friday, we're getting up there in temperature to 84 degrees, and the clouds will come in, but it'll be a kind of nice reprieve because that sun is going to be beating down as well. And again, low humidity. Very nice. Humidity starts to kick in on Saturday as the rain and scattered thunderstorms kick in. Later on in the day, we should expect them with a high of 86 degrees. Sunday, 86 degrees as well, but the rain is out of the way and we'll have mostly sunny skies. Monday, it'll be partly cloudy, mix of sun and clouds, and the humidity is going to be pretty intense, unfortunately. Same thing for Tuesday as well. Currently, the temperature in Huntington, New York is 53 degrees.
Well, the National Park Service is reminding visitors not to push down slower friends in an attempt to outrun a bear. Park rangers shared a post on the agency's Facebook account explaining how bears act when they're nervous and how best to respond. They lightheartedly said, "The friend you pushed down earlier may be able to climb a tree and help you escape the bear." The warning comes after two recent incidents involving bears getting too close to humans at Yellowstone National Park.
Well, back here at home, hundreds of concerned and very angry locals turned out for a meeting about what is happening at Washington Square Park in the Village. The place has been overrun with perverts and druggies and partiers, you know, raving until the late hours, the wee hours of the morning. Last weekend, we saw two stabbings. Neighbors of this very nice area say they have had it.
People urinating and defecating on our stoop.
Our children have witnessed all sorts of things, from lewd acts to nudity to drugs.
Police, once again, promising to, quote, address the concerns.
Well, we've heard that one before. I want to suggest you remove Dayton, Ohio from your forthcoming list of places that you may want to visit.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because an Ohio restaurant is adding a special crunch to their pizza. The Pizza Bandit in Dayton has been selling a spicy Thai cicada pie featuring a noticeable amount of local brood X cicadas on top. The cicadas, along with their wings, were blanched and sautéed and sprinkled on top. The pizza was not available to the public, and the restaurant only offered special tastings of the pie. The Pizza Bandit said if you missed their last tasting on Sunday, you'll have to wait another 17 years to try their spicy insect pizza.
Well, I mean, who's really going for pizza in Dayton? No offense.
I
mean, maybe you need cicadas. I don't know. Sorry, Pizza Bandit. I'm sure you're lovely. I'm sure you're lovely. We have some interesting news. A Rhode Island man, the first guy to receive the newly approved Alzheimer's drug. So we've been talking about this. This sounds like, I mean, it really does sound like a miracle. Let's hope it is. We're crossing our fingers. There are, of course, risks in taking a new drug, and there are still questions about this drug's effectiveness, but Mark Archambault was ready to go for it. The 70-year-old is the first person outside of clinical trials to get this dose, which is taken intravenously. The concern is, I mean, there are a lot of concerns, but in addition to the effectiveness, it also costs around $56,000 a year. Now, maybe that will decrease as the time goes on and, you know, it becomes more successful. But right now, $56,000 a year.
Well,
worth every penny.
Absolutely. No doubt I'd pay it. A message in a bottle written by someone in Rhode Island is picked up out of the ocean in Portugal's Azores Islands. Mm. The Boston Globe reporting, 17-year-old Christian Santos, a former Boston resident, found the note in a plastic bottle while he was spearfishing and also apparently trying to help keep the planet clean. The note read, quote, "It is Thanksgiving. I am 13 and visiting family in Rhode Island. I am from Vermont." And an email address followed. The message indicated it had been written in 2018. Santos has tried reaching out to the message sender, but has not heard back so far.
Well, maybe he'll hear it on this radio station.
Exactly. That's why I'm mentioning it.
That's excellent. Well, a stunt by Greenpeace almost killed a couple spectators and potentially the person who was doing the stunt. And now the activist group is issuing a mea culpa. It happened at the European soccer match in Germany earlier this week. So there was this glider who was flying over the game and had been planning, according to Greenpeace, to drop a soft ball on the pitch to protest the tournament's sponsor, Volkswagen. But his own engine and this glider began to sputter, so he had to make an emergency hard landing, and it ended up right in the middle of the stands. The 38-year-old pilot was arrested and is now in kind of big trouble. Bavarian officials say that he hurt a couple spectators, didn't kill anybody, but he still hurt them nonetheless. But they say he is getting off lucky because snipers were planning on shooting him down, but they held off after they saw the environmental group's logo.
Well, if you are celebrating a birthday today, you are sharing it with entertainer Barry Manilow, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, both of whom turned 78 today, and our colleague, who you can hear every Sunday evening on the Ramsey Mazda Sunday with Sinatra show, Joe Piscopo,
yay,
who is turning 70 today. Happy birthday to all of them, as well as actor Greg Kinnear, who's celebrating
his
birthday
today. You know, Joe Piscopo looks incredible.
Oh. Absolutely.
What a handsome man, and 70 years old.
Well, he certainly is in
That's
good shape.
Crazy, yeah.
He certainly is in good shape.
Good for him.
He still finishes his show with a split. Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention, I was witness to an in-studio photo shoot this morning.
What?
Where Sid Rosenberg, in a white T-shirt, an undershirt, basically.
A V-neck.
Was showcasing, I have to say, I killed me to say it, these massive pythons that he calls arms. And he's got these veins popping out of his arm. He looks like a bodybuilder. It was quite a sight to behold. And I'm looking at Sid flexing this morning in studio for this photo shoot. And all I could think was how surprised I was that he was defeated by Bernard McGurk in that boxing.
It was a long, it was almost 19 years ago.
Were you not in this kind of shape?
No, not even close.
I see.
My wife was pregnant with my first daughter, and I traded in training for Kentucky Fried Chicken in Englewood, New Jersey. But listen, Bernie's a boxer. He actually fought. He's got speed. He knows how to box. I don't. I tell you, Piscopo, he's got 16 years on me. He's bigger than I am, so.
Oh, he's in incredible shape.
He is. But thank you for that.
Great agility.
You almost had your second child this morning with me. Congrats to you and your beautiful wife.
Thanks.
That's great
much.
News. You're welcome. Hey, the Mets, congrats to them. They continue to win. They beat the Cubbies last night 6-3. Don't look now, but the Mets are 10 games over 500. But there's some good news and bad news here. They did win the game, but starter Jacob DeGrom only goes scoreless innings. His ERA down to 0.54. That's unbelievable. But he did leave with shoulder soreness. It was DeGrom after the game.
My shoulder was sore, back of it, and just wanted to say something to be smart. But like I said, this is frustrating. I want to be out there as long as I can be out there. Felt really good tonight early on. And then, you know, like I said, in third, just got pretty sore.
One New York Post comments this morning says the Mets will be smart to shelf Jacob DeGrom. They get the win again. Dominic Smith home run. Kevin Pillar home run. They lead the Phillies by 5. Yanks won 2 behind Gerrit Cole's 8th win of the year. He's now 8-3, pitching to a 2.31 ERA. Gary Sanchez remains hot. Hit his 10th home run of the year. The Yanks beat the Blue Jays 3-2. Yanks are in 3rd, 7 back of the Rays. They drop the puck tonight at 7:30 as the Islanders get set to take on Tampa Bay. Make that 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. That series is now one game apiece as the Isles return home. 8:30 tonight from Milwaukee. The Nets have a chance to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lead the Bucks after Durant's amazing performance last game, 3-2. Durant will play. Harden will play. According to Steve Nash, Irving, he won't.
I don't think he'll travel. He'll probably stay back to rehab. I'm not sure if he's in the building or not last night. Sorry.
Nets will take on the winner of the Hawks-Sixers series. Atlanta won last night. They're up on the top seed 3-2. Also last night, the Clippers go up 3-2 on the top seed Utah Jazz. Phoenix will take on the winner of that series. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at 15:45. I'm Sid.
617 here with traffic and transit on the 7s is Joe.
All right, Frank is head southbound. I'll make that northbound on the Garden State Parkway at exit 136 Raritan Road. That would be in Cranford. Debris spill all over the place. Apparently the left lane is going to be out of service. So as you come northbound, you're going to have that delay starting to build back to 135 already. Southbound on the Bruckner coming down to Hunts Point Avenue. Again, road construction. Two lanes are out. It's emergency road work. It's going to be there for a little while longer. Apparently the extra lane that is shut down. Now, Mass Transit, pretty much on or close to schedule. The A and the C trains are going to have some delays here and there. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Going to be a beautiful day, lots of sunshine, 79 degrees, very low humidity. Tomorrow, Friday, 84 degrees with some clouds rolling in to give you a little bit of a reprieve from that incredible sunshine beating down on you. And again, low humidity. Saturday, humidity kicks back in. We're going to have some mostly cloudy skies in the morning, scattered thunderstorms later in the day with some sun peeking out here and there. And as I said, a high of 86, 87 on Monday. Humidity is going to be pretty significant, unfortunately. Partly cloudy skies then. Currently, temperature in New York is 60 degrees. What's happening in the business world, Funk?
Well, quite a bit. Also, I want to remind people, you're going to want to listen this afternoon beginning at 4 p.m. to the debate that we are hosting, moderated by our colleague Dominic Carter, for the candidates running for Manhattan DA. It's a very hotly contested Democratic primary, and all those candidates will be here starting at 4 p.m. Stock market had a rough day yesterday. All three major indexes down. The Dow losing 265 points, the S&P 500 losing 23 points, and the NASDAQ sliding 33 points. The World Bank says it cannot help El Salvador get set up to use Bitcoin. A spokesman said yesterday that environmental and transparency shortcomings prevent the World Bank from assisting the Central American nation in implementing the digital currency. The spokesman said in an email, the World Bank is committed to helping El Salvador in numerous ways, including currency transparency and regulatory processes. The Lincoln brand of Ford Motor Company will offer all electric vehicles by 2030. There will be four new battery electric models introduced in the coming years. Ford announced its plan to invest $30 billion in their electric vehicles earlier this year. They've already released electric Mustang Mach-E and recently showed off the all-electric version of the F-150 pickup. The first Lincoln all-electric vehicle will be released next year when the brand celebrates their 100th anniversary. Juliet.
Very interesting. The homeless who've been spending their days in some of the city's hotels, much to the chagrin of some locals, will be leaving soon. Mayor de Blasio announced that they're going to be moved back into the shelters. I just wanted to give you that information. But in the meantime, we have Sid back with us talking about what is going to be coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show. Will you guys be talking about that?
Probably. I mean, we don't have any guests today. Bill O'Reilly is usually here, as you know, Juliet and Frank, on a Thursday, but he took his son Spencer to Wyoming for a couple of days. So we are guest light today. Our executive producer, Matthew Meany, he's away too. I think he's in Vegas or something, on some bachelor trip or something. I don't know. So we got the very steady Brian running the board today, but low on guests. But there's so much to talk about.
You don't need guests. You guys are experts in everything.
Of course. Or nothing. That's true. Which is even more entertaining. But we certainly see the whole key to radio, and Juliet, you know this as well as anybody, you just speak with conviction. You can be wrong every time. Like you, for example, had some guy call you at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, I agree with you 90% of the time, and you really think you're right. You're wrong all the time.
That's true.
But you say it with such conviction and confidence that I consider you a genius. I really do. So we'll talk about the mayor race, which I guess Catherine Garcia is about to win, right?
Well, look, I think she's very well positioned at this point because of ranked choice voting, which is going to be interesting. I noticed your friend Eric Ulrich taking a shot at both Republicans running for mayor.
He's quoted, he hates Curtis.
I don't blame him. You know, they have a history. Right. But he's quoted in City and State today as saying that he was lamenting that he had to vote for anybody, and he says he wishes he had better choices. Yeah. I voted in the primary on Saturday. I don't think it makes a difference because neither of them have qualified for matching funds, and it's sort of widely accepted at this point that whoever wins the Democratic primary is going to win the race in November.
Well, I agree with the second part of that. The Democrats going to win. Curtis is certainly capable of running this city. But that's Eric. You know, Eric was Queens councilman for a long time and a very good one. Still is. He ran for public advocate. He came up short there, not because he wasn't the best candidate. He was certainly a better candidate than Jermoni Williams. And a lot of folks thought he would run for mayor. So I think he's just kind of biding his time and hanging out with Eric Adams, who probably is going to win, is not a bad idea for Ulrich if, in fact, he has his design set on being mayor somewhere down the road.
So there you go. You got the mayor's race. You got the Mets winning streak.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of other
You missed Joe Beningo yesterday. You would have loved
know.
That.
I'm going to listen to the podcast. I tried to stay awake. I couldn't stay awake past 8:30.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And Juliet, you're leaving today, right? That's it.
I am. Noon
train. Are you like really excited right now?
I'm freaking out. I honestly, I'm not even listening to anything you're saying.
Why are you freaking out?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, in
you're
good
freaking
way.
Out. Okay, good.
Now, what time do you start taking Percocets and drinking before?
Oh, no,
you...
I'm not going to be drinking. I don't drink on the flights, not at all.
No
I
pills?
Actually am going to take a half an Ambien the second I sit down because I want to be out. We're in coach. I mean, it's not like we're going to be laying flat or anything. But the cool thing is our friend Delta Dave is working our flight. He's the flight attendant, like the head flight attendant. So he actually arranged a schedule. So he's working our flight and he's going to be hanging out with us in Rome.
So are you going nonstop from Kennedy to Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's and how long is
and
that
then,
trip?
What was that?
How long is that trip?
It's about 8 hours. Okay, I mean, taking cool. You know, on the runway, off the runway, but it's going to be quite a production both in the airports, in JFK and in Rome.
I'm sure. Well, let me just say this to you: we'll miss you. I'll miss you. And ciao.
Ciao. Buonasera, buongiorno.
Well, and we want to thank you, Sid, and thank you to the good folks at Peerless Boilers for making this segment possible. And if you are interested in some tankless water heaters or some Peerless Boilers, you should really keep them in mind. They do a great job.
Peerless is awesome. They're great advertisers, and they're just cool people.
Yes, they are. I met the guy here. He was very nice, Mr. Morgan.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always like to promote people that we really like too. I mean,
that's right.
The products, but the people
that's right.
as well.
We're still trying to get that free tankless water heater as well, but we'll see what happens. Now, I do want to bring some, sort of sad news to your attention. Former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge has suffered a stroke.
Oh,
his family posted a message on Twitter saying that he was taken by ambulance to a Washington D.C. hospital yesterday. They say he was conscious when he arrived. He underwent a procedure to remove a blood clot and is in critical but stable condition. Ridge was the first Homeland Security Secretary when the department was created under former President George Bush. Shortly after 9/11, he, of course, also was the governor of Pennsylvania.
How old is he?
I believe he's 71, but I'm going to double check that. He's a regular guest on the Cats Roundtable on Sunday mornings. I'll tell you, he sounds great. And he actually, I would never have guessed that he's this old. He's 75.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's still really quick. An air rage drama to tell you about. I mean, I just mess with me on my flight, people. Mess with me on my flight. You'll see what happens. Not happening on my flight. But anyway, it happened on a United Airlines flight. Passengers and crew were forced to deal with these idiots. I don't think they were 30,000 feet at this point because it happened last Friday shortly after takeoff from San Francisco. Two passengers didn't know each other, apparently got into a verbal tussle over the age-old, is that seat rest mine question? Although, for these class acts, it wasn't a question because both insisted, that's my seat rest, it's not your seat rest. And then the verbal match turns into a boxing match that spills out into the aisle and, you know, freaking out the families and people on the flight. And it was quickly rerouted back to San Francisco. The men were escorted off the plane and arrested.
Mm.
I hope they never fly again. It's absolutely outrageous to pull that kind of nonsense. And also, better news, the United Airlines, which was the same company that this happened on, they have announced that they are going to be revising appearance standards for customers, customer-facing employees, to be more inclusive. So you'll be able to have tattoos and stuff like that.
Well, that's encouraging.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm cool.
Yeah. Juliet, I am going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you guys. I will be doing lots of shooting, and I will not murdering people, but videoing for the Jet Set Juliet travel show, and I will be calling in. And I miss you guys. I love you guys.
We'll have a wonderful, wonderful trip. And on the Garden State Parkway northbound around exit 136 and Debris, the left lane going to be out of service as you get through there. We're also looking at delays in up by the Union Toll, an accident with one lane closed. Now on the Bruckner southbound of the Sheridan, emergency construction, that'll continue for a little while longer. Also, as you get out onto the subway tracks, we have issues now on the A, the C, the B, and the R. Apparently some police activity as you start to get in to the area of 36th Street. And alternate side of the street, park parking rules and regulations are in effect. So, again, not a bad start to our morning rush hour. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.